On behalf of the AICPA Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, my name is Dana Green with Green & Green, CPAs in Middlesboro, Kentucky. And together with me here are Virginia Collins with Loeb & Troper in New York. She is the Director of Quality Control for that firm that deals primarily with not-for-profit organizations. And also with me here today is Al Friedman, Senior Vice President and Chief Auditor at Sterling National Bank. And our topic today is cats, better than Broadway, and the cats area, its computer-assisted auditing techniques, has been evolving rather quickly in recent years with new tools and techniques. And I thought I would speak for a moment about what we might call the analytics maturity model. And as time goes on, the analytics maturity model progresses from something where we're looking not just strictly to the looking in hindsight, looking behind us, but we're looking for insight and the value of data that we have available within an organization to better interpret and report on what we have. And then hopefully as an organization becomes more skilled and desiring to extract more value from the data available from within the enterprise or even from without the enterprise, become more predictive using foresight techniques to make the data available more valuable to the organization. And I just wanted to turn the discussion over now to Virginia. And Virginia, I know you have some specific thoughts on this area and the value of data to the organization and the tools that are available to the profession and to the enterprise for making use of cats.
Sure. My background is public accounting, so I'm really going to talk about it from that perspective. And I've been really driving this in the firms that I've been working with and really saying low-cost tools are here today with Active Data, with Excel. Excel now has a power suite of really Power Query, which cleans up as an ETL tool, which is available in 2016. It's part of the data tab now in 2016. So these are basically lower cost tools that we can really start to create data models in Excel. It doesn't take really the IT skill it used to be able to get this, to get visualization. The other thing that's happening, so the lower cost tools, is the AICPA is doing two things with data. They're established data standards. They have base standards, they have general ledger standards and subledger. So now clients' computers can be set to those data standards so that we can start using different users can get value out of the information of computers. So that's really AICPA is driving that data standards. If you just go on the website, you'll see that. And the Emergent Assurance Technology Task Force has been working on that. And that's really exciting as far as data. And the tools available are just not that you need an IT person anymore.
And I think it's important to mention that the affordability of these tools now is well within reach of firms of most any size.
Right. And that's really a real game changer because, you know, usually you have one person in a public accounting firm doing IDEA, ACL, and now you have these lower cost tools that are more user friendly and cost efficient. And really, CATS should be really expanded to more and more auditors. And that's been my premise for the last year. And I've been working with different groups to try to get them to see that the ability to change is here today.
And if we're ready to use CATS at the firm level or even in smaller businesses or small enterprise type concerns, what do we need to be cognizant of for the integrity of the data and where the data came from as we consider applying these CATS techniques?
Right. Well, there's always data issues. One of the things in working with data that's really hardest is really the cleanup of data to make it that you can put it in a table format to be able to create relationships and join the data and get some use out of the data. And that's really where Power Query, I think, is a game changer. It's an ETL tool that will write in scripts as the user, and it's very friendly, the user interface. And as you click on, it actually writes it in a code that's called an M code and will remember it. And so if I bring that data in again and to the same file, it will go through the same process again. It's really a great tool. And so that's really a big obstacle, is the cleaning of the data to be able to work with it, you know, so that really will help.
Exactly. And you mentioned Power Query again there, and I think it's important to point out, and the later versions of Excel, it's just there.
Yeah, it's on the data tab in 2016. It's the Get and Transform Data, it's called. And if you open it up, it's really powerful. I think it's a game changer for all of us in dealing with data.
And as we talk about data analytics as it applies to cats, or just data analytics in general, a buzzword that's out there that I think almost scares people to consider at times is the term data mining. And I think it's a lot more approachable than it first sounds to many people. How would you describe data mining, and what does it mean?
Well, the data mining, the actual definition, is the practice of examining large data sets in order to generate new information. And that new information gives you insight and the ability to make decisions. And that's what's so important about data mining, is insight and the ability to not wait for data, you know, for financials. I can make decisions on a daily basis. And that's necessary in today's economy, when we have a global economy, and I'm not just competing with the guy down the block. I'm competing with the world. So I need information quickly. And that's where data mining is really important, that we could bring large data sets together and get information from it to make those decisions. So that's one of the things I think that's really critical. And the amount of data is exploding in the world, and you can make yourself or your business or your CPA practice, you can be very, very competitive and get in a competitive advantage as you become more familiar with extracting information to make decisions.
And we do want to encourage our listeners that the tools to do this mining with are so accessible now. It doesn't require expensive software to consider making use of these much more affordable tools to perform these analytics. And then I'm going to say that with the analytics, we tend to, from an historical perspective, think of analyzing where we are right now and where we've been. And there's the terms point in time versus continuous monitoring. And Al, if you could speak to that, to contrast analytics from a point-in-time perspective to a continuous monitoring perspective, and what it means.
I'd be delighted, Dana. Thank you. So first, let's backtrack. And I certainly agree with what Virginia said in terms of the use of data per se, data mining, to make business decisions. But also, the other side of the coin is, in terms of the data itself, how clean is the data? So I could certainly speak in terms of the banking industry that I've been in for decades. When we run queries, and if we did analytics, much less continuous monitoring, we're also looking for outliers. So if you think in terms of the banking environment, if you looked at the loan area, we would want to mine the data to see, are there outliers within the loan area, i.e., have we booked loans at 0% interest? Obviously, that's a no-no. Much less, is there loans out there that for some crazy reason it was erroneously booked at 30% interest? Whoops, we have usury issues. The point being that you can use, you know, the data analytics to find data issues and pop them out and say, wait a minute, what's wrong here? Now, let's talk, as Dana said, point in time versus continuous monitoring. So historically, whether it's management or audit, whether it's the outside CPA from internal audit, you would literally be looking at things point in time. So you'd be taking classically a sample. You'd pick a sample of whatever it might be, depending on the size of the population, a sample of 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever items, and you'd examine just those items and you'd extrapolate errors to the population. And then as that evolved, you can also, people have then run data queries. And also point in time, looking at data and looking for outliers. Where this goes to when you reach, you know, the next level is continuous monitoring. So here's the thing. Let's say we take a given area, an audit of investments, an audit of loans, an audit of deposits. And even if it's deemed to be a high exposure audit, you typically would only look at it once a year. So once a year, you would take your sample, run your queries, or do your data analytics. But the problem is, if something is off the rails, so to speak, you're now catching it potentially as much as a year late in the game. So the goal is to put something in that literally 24/7/365, you have continuous monitoring in place, that at any point in time, any day, any time, you're catching a situation that is producing erroneous data. And that's really where you have to evolve to, and where we want to evolve to. And that effectively is not just the future, but the present.
I just want to add to that, because that's in continuous monitoring. There's actual paper that the AICPA has, if you Google it, it's called continuous monitoring. And they describe in there the different areas, and Al is correct, data, you could continuously go through data assurance and the different areas. You can continuously monitor controls. You can continuously monitor the risks and compliance. And they call it continuous assurance, that really you're capturing your data assurance, your controls, your compliance, your risk monitoring, and your operations monitoring. And so it's really, there's different things depending on what the user needs that you could be monitoring. And it's kind of fascinating that this has been around since 1999 when the AICPA and the Canadian Charter of Accountants talked about this in the Red Book project. CPA firms have been very slow to implement it, but the continuous assurance and the idea of it has been around for a while. But I think it's much more that we can actually implement it more because the tools are catching up and the amount of data is expanding. So for those two things, I think it really is the time for this.
Well, do we think that CATS, in the traditional thinking of what CATS means, is going to evolve into continuous monitoring?
Absolutely. I think that Al described it very well in saying, I'm not going to just look at it at the end of the year. I'm going to look at it continuously. And as you do that, it's probably more automated. You will lead more towards automation and realize you're not going to get from 1 to 100 in one step, but that you'll have a capability maturity model and you'll figure out what each step of the model will be in your capabilities as you start to go through this process of becoming continuous monitoring.
I think I see this as the progression along that analytical maturity timeline or model that I spoke of at the beginning of this presentation. Continuous monitoring is moving from the inside or just mere discovery stage to becoming somewhat predictive, and you even alluded to being somewhat automated. As the use of the data progresses along that maturity model, it only becomes more valuable, but the value doesn't come without some type of cost. How you see CATS being used, and is it worth it, and what's it going to cost?
Oh, yeah. So let me just say that, of course, it's worth it. Game, set, match. What's going on, again, I could speak in terms of banking, is the larger the banking institution, the further evolved they are, and the more likely they would have continuous monitoring in place. And I'd say that probably applies across all industries. The larger the particular player in a given industry, the odds are they will have some version of continuous monitoring in place. As you deal with smaller institutions, remember, what's our environment now? What's our economy all about? You know, your typical firm is cutting costs. And, you know, like it or not, you know, you have to make a value proposition, even though, of course, all of us on this call are strongly in favor of this. But, you know, we've to some degree been there, done that. If you're in a smaller institution, you have to make that value proposition where the corner office, the senior manager will say, well, wait a minute, how much is this going to cost? And wait a minute, not just in terms of buying the tool, but we'll have to also add a resource or plural resources. So you have to establish a value proposition up front. And obviously, you know, make the case to senior management that, yes, this is absolutely worth it. But it's, you know, I'll just say that, as again, obvious it is to all of us on the call that it's worth it. When we're in a cost-cutting mode in our current economic environment, not so easy. And I don't want to sound negative, because I'm not negative about CATS, data mining, everything here. But we also have to be realistic that, you know, sometimes in a small institution, the first thing you're going to hear is, no, not now, down the road. And, of course, you have to establish, as I said, the why, the wherefore. It absolutely does pay.
Well, that's where the maturity model might help you, Alan, because the first stage can be the low-cost tools. That has been kind of the premise of some of the webinars that I've done, to say it doesn't cost a lot, and you start the journey, and you can have some big hits with low-cost tools, and that's how you can really see the benefit of it. And some of the higher services that you can offer your client if you're not bogged down with data and doing some of the services that really the client are not willing to pay for.
wade into the water and get used to the temperature, and then you can go beyond just ankle deep and progress when you become comfortable with the way it works and,
well
and really
stated.
Realize what the value is. What we haven't touched on that I feel that we should is identifying risk and what the key risk indicators are and how that fits with cats. And how can you inform us there?
Well, again, in any of business models, the first thing is, what is your risk appetite? What risks are you willing to take? And so you're basically going to look at your business strategy, your risk appetite, and go from there. So the need to have a tool that will help you assess risk is important. And of course, the key risk indicators, what are known as KRIs, those are your point in time, we'll call it temperature checks, so that in other words, once you put something in place, a CAT tool, whether this is continuous monitoring daily, much less monthly, you will have KRIs that essentially typically will be like some version of red, yellow, green that will alert you that you've now reached a threshold, which you've set up in terms of your key risk indicator that basically says, halt, investigate this, something is off kilter. And that's what KRIs, key risk indicators, are all about. But again, I emphasize, no matter what your industry is, no matter what business you're in, the upfront thing you need to do as you put your business strategy together is, what are my risks and how much risk am I willing to take? And these tools are invaluable in that vein.
All right, thank you. And with respect overall to CATs, as you indicated, I think all of us speaking here today are in complete agreement that it is now so affordable and so valuable. If you haven't already waded into those waters, you need to investigate. The tools are affordable. The values to be realized from the use of those tools is great. And we would encourage everyone to investigate. And at this point, I would just like to say that on behalf of the AICPA's Information Management and Technology Assurance Division, I'm Dana Green, and I've been joined here today by Al Friedman and Virginia Collins. We are each certified public accountants and hold the specialty credential from the AICPA of Certified Information Technology Professional, that's a CITP. We have presented CATs, more exciting than Broadway. And to access more information and resources on CATs and related information technology and technology assurance, visit AICPA.org/IMTA/resources. I also highly encourage IMTA section members and CITP credential holders to review your biweekly electronic IMTA news to keep up with the latest news, resources, advocacy, and events. Visit AICPA.org/IMTA/news for the latest edition. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.